through the eyes of faith. Seeing through the eyes of faith. The Lord bless you. You may be seated. Everybody here tonight knows that there are worlds coexistent with our physical world that we cannot see. Anybody ever look through a telescope? There's other worlds out there that we cannot see without an aid for these eyes. But there is a universe that is vast, and it is amazing what God has created and what the future holds. But there is a celestial world that you can only see with a telescope. Anybody ever remember looking through a microscope? Have you ever looked at water through a microscope? All water is living water. It's got little things living in it. Good thing you can't see that. Amen. If you could see what you drink, you wouldn't want to drink. Because it's living water. If you could see the pillow that you sleep on, you wouldn't want to sleep on it. Amen. There's a little microscopic world out there that is real. And thank God we can't see everything. Amen. All the time, at least. I hope I didn't ruin anybody's appetite or sleep here tonight. But it's a fact that there's a microscopic world. It's also a fact that there's a spiritual world. Just because you can't see it with your physical eyes does not mean that it does not exist. It's just as real as the physical world. As a matter of fact, the Bible said that it's more real. It says that the physical world that we see and know is going to pass away. The things that are seen will pass away, but the things that are not seen are eternal. So the spiritual realm then tonight is actually more real than the world that you and I can see tonight. And so there are some things, and to get into the spiritual realm requires faith. You can only see things in the spiritual tonight by faith. But with faith, you can see things. The Bible said God speaks of things that are not as though they are, because God speaks with faith. And with eyes of faith, we can see things that others cannot see. When Samuel went out to anoint the future king of Israel, he saw some handsome and tall men, Eliab, and he said, "Surely the Lord's anointed is before him." He saw Shammah, and he said, "Surely the Lord's anointed is before him." And God said, "No, I have rejected these." He said, "Man looks on the outward appearance, but God looks on the heart." And God selected David, the youngest of the group, one that was not even considered worthy by people to be considered. But the Lord said, "I have chosen him." Hallelujah. I'm glad people don't choose the church tonight. Amen. You remember getting chosen when you were in school, when you'd get ready to play, you know, in PE, and then start choosing sides. Wasn't that always a fun time? Until it came down to some of us, and they were saying, "You take him." "No, you take him. No, you got to take him. I chose first." Amen. And that's hard on your feelings. Amen. Hey, but I'm glad there's a God in heaven that reached down and said, "I choose you. I want you. You're mine." Amen. When the world wouldn't have anything to do with you, and you weren't qualified to fit in their little cliques and their little groups. But God said, "I'll bring you into my church." Hallelujah. "I'll make you a member of the family of the Almighty God and a citizen of heaven." Amen. So God chooses as man does not. God sees things that others do not see. Amen. God's good, isn't he? Brother Neil, he's good. You said that, but he is. Amen. Hallelujah. Amen. I can't imagine what God saw in the little old country boy that was too shy to even talk to people, raised out in a cotton patch. in West Texas when cotton would grow. Amen. And how in the world could God bring somebody from there to here and a whole lot of places in between? Amen. God's amazing, isn't He? Praise the Lord. He does great things. Hey, let me tell you something tonight. It's fun living for God. It's exciting living for the Lord. You'll do things you never thought you'd do. When you hit your wagon to His star, amen, He'll take you places. You'll do things. Hallelujah. It's great living for God. So God saw David when nobody else could see the value and the potential and the gifts that were there. God saw them. Eyes of faith. Eyes of faith. You remember the spies that went out to view the land of Canaan before they went in to possess it. And they came back. They went in for 40 days. And they came back out of the land. And it was exciting as they came back. And they began to give the report about everything that they had seen there and all the things that were going on there. And the Bible says that 10 of them gave up an evil report. God deliver us from evil reports. Amen. I would that everybody had eyes of faith. I wish everybody could see beyond the present. Amen. And see into what God is going to do. It may not be so good right now, but it's getting ready to get better. Amen. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Because God never fails. Amen. It said they brought up an evil report of the land. They told them, they said, it's a land that eats up the inhabitants of it. I don't know if they saw any cannibals over there, but that was what their imagination said. You know, once you engage fear, it's amazing what you can see. You can make things out of nothing. Mountains out of molehills. I remember one night when I was a boy, I was sick. And I was in my room, and it was night, dark. And all of a sudden, the door to my room opened up. And my back was to the door, and I was frozen. I couldn't move. I couldn't say anything. I was trying to cry for Mama. Nothing came out. I was just laying there. And then I watched the wall. I could see this figure coming toward me. And I was lying there in the bed, petrified. And all of a sudden, a hand reached out. And I was ready for the fatal blow. And my mom said, Johnny, it's time for your medicine. But it's amazing what fear will do. Fear will do strange things to you. It'll make cannibals out of normal people. It's what they said. He eats up the inhabitants. And all the people, men are said, they're great stature. There's a few of them, but not all of them are that big. And so they were brought up this evil report of what they saw, because that's what their eyes beheld. When you look at things with fear, that's what you see. When you're fearful, you see defeat and you see despondency and you see failure. Amen. But there were two men that went over there believing God. And they came back believing God. Hallelujah. Caleb and Joshua, they said, yeah, they're big fellows over there, but we're well able to take care of that. And their confidence was in the Lord. God had said, I'm going to give you that land. I'm going to drive out the inhabitants before you. And they believed what God said. And when you believe what God said, it doesn't matter how big the enemy is. It doesn't matter how great the foe may be. God's already said it. You believe it. You stand on it. You act on it. And God will back you up. Amen. And so they had a good report. They said, let's go up at once and possess it right now. Amen. I like right now people, don't you? I don't like wait and see people. Amen. Well, let's wait and see if the economy gets better. Let's wait and see if some of those big guys move out of the way. and we're stuck with the little skinny ones. And some people, you know, they want the situation to change before they step out there. Amen. But God said, it's time. Let's do it now. Amen. And they said, no. And then they got ready to kill him because they said, you brought us out here. We're going to die out here. Amen. The next morning, they changed their mind. People are fickle. The next morning, they said, all right, let's go now. We're ready. And Joshua said, nope, we can't go now. We were supposed to go yesterday. So you can miss God's sense of timing. And so they said, let's go anyway. So they got a group together and they went out and people were killed. Lives were lost. They came back in shame and defeat. It's time to move when God says move. And you see things by faith. See things by faith. What can you see tonight? Well, sometimes you can see better with your eyes closed than you can with them open. Because sometimes when you close your eyes, you can shut out distractions. And you can focus on what God said and what God is going to do. Amen. I don't know if you've ever read the other part of this story or not, but I'd like to read it to you. You remember what they were saying, that they're giants and they eat up the inhabitants of the land and we can't conquer them? Let me show you what was going on the other side. Joshua chapter 2, verse 9 through verse 11. This is the report of what they really thought. When they did get ready to go into the land, they went to the house of Rahab. And this is what Rahab said to the men. She said, I know that the Lord hath given you the land. Everybody say, the Lord has given you the land. She said, we know that. You see, their enemies knew that they were going to lose and that God had given them the land. They already knew that. And your terror is fallen upon us, and that all the inhabitants of the land faint because of you. For we have heard how the Lord dried up the water of the Red Sea for you when you came out of Egypt, and what you did to the two kings of the Amorites that were on the other side of Jordan, Sihon and Og, whom you utterly destroyed. And as soon as we heard these things, our hearts did melt, neither did remain any courage in any man because of you. For the Lord your God, He is God in heaven above and in earth beneath. You see, that's what they were really thinking. Those giants were quaking in their boots. They were saying, oh, I hope they don't come on over here. We're in trouble. We can't stand against these Jews because their God is God of the mountain and He's God in the valley. Amen. And He's above all. And we can't stand against Him. You see, when God gets things prepared, He's already made a way for you. But you have to move in that time. Amen. Elijah, that's who we're talking about, Elisha we're talking about here tonight. And he was surrounded by an army. Surrounded by an army. And they were on every hand. And they had horses and they had chariots. And so they said, what are we going to do? His servant was very fearful because of the foe that had surrounded them. And he cries out and he says, what are we going to do? And yet the prophet was standing there and he was at peace. And he wasn't worried. Amen. And he looked at his servant there and he said, they that be with us are more than they that be with them. And I'm sure the guy was saying, something wrong with your eyesight, bud. And not from what I'm seeing. Well, that was the problem. It was just what he was seeing. Amen. He was just seeing with his natural eyes. He wasn't seeing with eyes of faith. Amen. But I just want to tarry there just a moment. And look at this. You know, they that be with us are more than they that be with them. The Bible tells me that one third of the heavenly host was cast out with the devil. Now, I wasn't real good in math when I was in school, but I think I've got this figured out. That if one-third of the host was cast down, that means that two-thirds still remain. Last I did math, two was more than one. So that means that for every devil that's against me, there's two angels that are for me. So if I run into a devil somewhere, I got an angel on my right hand and an angel on my left hand, and they that be with me is more than they that be with them. And if that's not enough, I've got the angel maker on my side. And if he wants to make some more, all he's got to do is speak the word and there'll be more angels. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. If God be for us, who can be against us? Hallelujah. Amen. Praise the Lord. But we get in trouble because we think with just the normal reasoning. You see, we get into this trap and we begin to compare things. We have little things and big things and hot things and cold things. And you see, they're opposites, aren't they? And then we get in the spiritual realm and we have angels and demons and then we have God and the devil. But you see, God doesn't have an opposite. God doesn't have an equal. Because God is the creator. And everything else is a creation. God is the only, He dwells in the heavens alone, and there's none like Him. There's nothing equal to Him. He is above all things. And God is on our side. Hallelujah. So it doesn't matter when God tells you to step into something, you just step right into that situation. Because if God is for us, who can be against us? Hallelujah. And so no wonder the prophet said, well, they that be with us are more. And then he prayed the second part of the prayer, and he said, open his eyes. And when the servant opened his eyes, he saw chariots and horses and angels surrounding the army. Hallelujah. And the mountains were filled with them. You know what? If God could allow your eyes to be open tonight, there's just no telling what you'd see in this church right now. There's absolutely no telling the angelic host that you could see surrounding this place tonight. Hallelujah. Amen. 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 That right, Brother Neil? You believe in angels? Hallelujah. God sent a couple of them to Brother Neil just the other day when he was in a desperate situation. Amen. But God opens our eyes sometimes and lets us see. I've never heard anybody talk about a puny angel. I've heard a lot of angel stories, but I've never heard anybody say, oh, God sent me some little scrawny puny angels. Little skinny little things. Didn't look like they could hurt a fly. I've never heard that story. Anybody I ever heard tell an angel story said, oh, they were big fellas. Amen. They were strong and they were capable. Looked like they could take care of business. Amen. They could go bear hunting with a switch and give the bear the switch. Amen. They're tough looking fellas. They're strong looking angels. I'm telling you, God's created some beings with power and might and strength. And there's nothing skinny and scrawny and puny about God. Amen. God's into winning, not into losing. Amen. So if you're into losing, then you're on the wrong side tonight. Amen. Because God's about winning. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Amen. And so he said, open his eyes. When he opened his eyes, what he saw was everywhere he looked. He saw angels, mighty, powerful, beautiful beings of God. They were all around him, on every side, and everywhere that he looked. You see, that's the difference eyes of faith make. When you're seeing as God sees, it's all different. Before God spoke, The Bible said there was just darkness and deep, and there was nothing beautiful. But in what God saw, He saw a beautiful planet. He saw mountains covered with grass and trees and flowers. God saw rivers teeming with fish and turtles and things. And God saw beasts grazing in the fields. And God saw man created in His own image, you see, because God sees with faith. And what He saw, He spake into existence with nothing but a word. Amen. You talk about powerful. You can't create a whole lot of things with your word tonight. But God created everything with His. Amen. The Bible said that the things that exist, they exist because of the word of God. They consist by the word of God. We hear people talk about creating a lie. We're really advanced, and we're really smart. We've got a lot of smart people on the planet today. They do a lot of things. They really can. But they have never created life, and they never will. Because God is the author of life, God alone. Now, they can take the building blocks of life, and they can put them together in a test tube, and they can foster life, but they cannot create life. The life had to exist, and they put it together, but they could never create it. Because we don't have that ability. God and God alone has life. Amen. Man can make pulpits out of wood, but I've never seen a man that could make a tree. Have you? Amen. No, you can't make a tree. There's not a human being anywhere that's ever made any form of life, no matter how simple. Not so much as a single cell have we ever been able to create as a human being. Because God and God alone has the power of life. But God sees things, and then He speaks things. And when He speaks it, then we can see it. Hallelujah. You see, that's why, Brother Neil, as you were preaching this afternoon so ably and beautifully, when we get into this book, you see, we start believing what God said more than what people say. And that's important, because people will talk you out of your blessing, and people will talk you out of your peace, and people will talk you out of your joy, and people can talk you out of your healing, and people can talk you out of your salvation. If you don't get a good hold on it, amen, and believe what God said instead of what they say. Has you ever heard that they say? Have you ever figured out who they is? I don't know who they is, but they say a lot of stuff. I don't put much stock in what they say, but I put a lot of stock in what He says. Amen. Because I have found His word to be true. Amen. One of my favorite characters in the Bible is a character by the name of Elijah. I always get Elijah and Elisha mixed up. So I have to remember which one I'm talking about. Elijah. Amen. So Elijah, we don't know anything about him. All of a sudden, he just walks up to the king, and he said, "Hey," he said, "King boy, it's not going to rain for 3 years until I say so." And he walks out. And the king thinks, "Who's that coot?" He's had way too much sun. But you know what? It didn't rain in a few months. It didn't rain for a year. It didn't rain for 2 years. It didn't rain for 3 years. And he said, "Find that man." And they turned the land upside down looking for Elijah. And they couldn't find him. And then 3.5 years later, he comes back. And he tells the king, he said, "Hey, it's getting ready to rain." Now this time he had his attention. He said, "It's getting ready to rain." Matter of fact, he said, you better get off this mountain, you're going to get stuck. And so then Elijah, after saying that, he went to pray. And there weren't any clouds. So he got down to pray. And here's what he said. He said, I hear the sound of abundance of rain. Now let's clarify this. The Bible said, faith comes by hearing. So he didn't say, I see rain. He said, I hear rain. Because God said something about rain. And so he said, I hear the sound of abundance of rain. Now he didn't see anything because the clouds, there were no clouds. The sky was perfectly clear. And he went down to pray. And as he prayed, he turned to his servant and he said, do you see any clouds? He said, not a thing. And so he prayed again. And he said, you see any clouds? He said, not a thing. And he prayed again. And he said, do you see any clouds? And he said, not a thing. And the devil said, it ain't working. And he prayed again. And he said, you see anything? He said, not a thing. And the devil said, it's not working. And so he prayed again. And he sent him out. He said, see anything? He said, nope. And he prayed again. And he said, you see anything? He said, nope. This is getting old, isn't it? Servant's getting tired. And the seventh time he prayed, he said, you see anything? He said, well, yeah. He said, I saw a cloud like a man's hand. Hallelujah. And Elijah said, if I may paraphrase, well, that's the hand of God getting ready to turn the water on. We better get out of here. Amen. And about that time, God opened up the heavens. God could put a lot of rain in a little hand. Hallelujah. And the next thing you knew, the heavens turned dark, and the lightning was flashing, and the thunder was crashing, and the rain in torrents was falling, and they had to get off of the mountain. Amen. But you see, he said, I hear it, and then I see it. When you get with God in prayer, He will tell you things that you cannot yet see. He will make you promises in prayer that you will hear, but it will take some time for you to see them. And you will be tempted, if you're not careful, you'll get to looking with your carnal, natural, physical eyes, and if you don't keep feeding your faith, Satan can rob you of what God told you. Anybody believe that's true? Amen. You can't do that. You got to. When you heard from God, then you start looking for that cloud. And if it doesn't happen the first time you pray again. And if it doesn't happen the second time, you pray again. And 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 you pray until it happens. Amen. Praise the Lord. And so Elijah had eyes of faith. He kept praying until he saw something. And then he didn't see much, but it was enough. Because he said, oh, that's all I need. That's all I need. It's time to go. Amen. You see, when you see with eyes of faith, you see things others cannot see. You see things others cannot see. The Apostle Paul was sent by God to the city of Corinth. And when he got to Corinth, you've got to understand what Corinth was. Corinth was a really, really wicked place. Corinth was a city that was given to idolatry and sensualism. It was an especially wicked city. As a matter of fact, if you wanted to call somebody something bad, you called them a Corinthian. If you, instead of calling somebody a drunkard, you just called them a Corinthian. Instead of calling somebody an adulterer or a whoremonger, you just called them a Corinthian. Because that everything bad, was that's what a Corinthian was. The city was known for its sinfulness. It was the Las Vegas of its day. Everybody knew that what happened in Corinth didn't stay in Corinth, and it don't stay in Vegas either. It will follow you home. I said, it will follow you home. That's a foolish idea that what happens in Vegas stays in Vegas. No, sin will always follow you home. You can't sin and leave it behind. Hello? It'll follow you back to your house. Amen. It'll live there until you kick it out and you get it right. And so Corinth was an extremely wicked and vile city. Amen. And Paul was kind of having a tough time there. He was having revival, but he was also having a lot of opposition. Amen. And you know, when you're having opposition that and revival at the same time, that's a good indication that good things are getting ready to really happen. It's time to stand your ground, not give up, not give in, not give out, but just keep standing. Amen. Hallelujah. Praise God. And just keep preaching it and keep believing it and keep talking it and keep waiting for it and keep looking for it, because it's getting ready to happen. So Paul's in Corinth, and listen to what the Lord said. Acts chapter 18, verse number 9. Then spake the Lord to Paul in night by a vision. Be not afraid, but speak, and hold not thy peace, for I am with thee, and no man shall set on thee to hurt thee, for I have much people in this city. Amen. At that point in time, not much was happening, but God said, I got a bunch of people in the city of Corinth. Amen. They don't look like Christians right now, but they're going to be. They don't act like Christians right now, but they're going to. Hallelujah. They don't even believe right now, but they're getting ready to. Anybody got a kind of faith like that tonight? Amen. Anybody believe that somebody that you work with or a family member may not talk like a Christian right now, but they're getting ready to? Hallelujah. Amen. They may not look like a Christian right now, but they're getting ready to. They may not even believe right now, but they're getting ready to. Amen. That's the kind of faith you got to have. You got to start seeing things that are not. Amen. You look around tonight and you can see a lot of space. But if you close your eyes and pray and believe, you can see every seat filled, and you can see walls knocked out, and you can see new buildings built, and you can see parking lots filled, and you can see buses and vans in the parking lot. Amen. You can see revival. Brother Neil, you can see a Sunday school, amen, that you never could imagine if you don't have eyes of faith. Amen. But you gotta focus your vision, and you've got to believe what God said and don't believe what people say. Amen. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Natural eyes can only see so much. But spiritual eyes can see what physical eyes will never see. Amen. What are you looking at tonight? Amen. You know, some people can only see their problems. The psalmist wrote this. He said, magnify the Lord with me. Now, don't anybody answer this, because I don't want anybody to be deceived or feel foolish. But what happens when you magnify something? And I told you not to answer. It doesn't get bigger. It stays the same. But you see it better. You see it more clearly. Is that right? Amen. See, magnification just clarifies your understanding. And your knowledge is increased, because now you can see things you couldn't see before. And the more you magnify it, the more details you can understand and ascertain, and you can really study that, and you can really understand it more deeply because you magnify that. So when you magnify God, you can't make God any bigger. He's already omnipresent. You can't get bigger than that. You can't add anything to His power. He's omnipotent. He has all power. You can't add anything to His knowledge. He's omniscient. He knows everything. You can't add any time to God. He's eternal. Amen. You can't add any perfection to God. He's already perfect. You can't add anything, but you can magnify God, and as you magnify Him, you can understand Him better. You magnify certain facets of God, and that's what the Word does for us. We begin to understand Him better. And the more you understand Him, the greater you love Him, and the more faith you have in Him. Or you can magnify your problems. I've tried to help people before, and they were so focused on their problems. Amen. And I would tell them, I said, oh, that won't work. Of course it'll work. Amen. Get your eyes off the problem. Get your eyes off the problem. Magnify your problems. You're just going to have problems. Oh, you'll understand your problems really well. I know people, they can talk days about their problems. Amen. Yes, they can. I mean, they tell you things about their problems. You didn't know anybody could even have a problem like that. They have studied that problem and magnified that problem so long. Amen. They don't know how to live without it. You know, Jesus one time asked a fella. He had a problem for 38 years. And Jesus asked him what seems to us kind of a foolish question. He said, would you like to be healed? Well, what kind of question is that? Well, you know, there's people that don't want to be. This guy had been magnifying his problem for 38 years. He was really used to it. People carried him everywhere he wanted to go. That's right. He had nice people to pick him up and carry. He didn't have to walk. He didn't have to expend any energy. He just laid there all day long, and people came by and gave him money. Amen. Some people like that. People talked about how bad he had it and how sorry they felt for him. Some people like that. Shake your head like this right here. There's people like that. And they don't want you messing up for them. So Jesus said, do you want to be healed? And you know what his answer was? I don't have anybody to help me. What do you mean? You got people carrying you everywhere. You got people putting money in your cup. But I don't have anybody. Sure you do. He just magnified his problem. But Jesus, out of his mercy, healed that man, and it almost got him killed. It did. Jesus said, rise, take up your bed and walk. It was the Sabbath day. That man rolled up his bed. He walked out of there. And then he ran right into some big old Pharisee bullies. And they said, what in the world are you doing carrying a bed on the Sabbath day? He says, it's not my fault. I didn't do it. Somebody called Jesus, told me I had to. He made me. It's his fault. Go get him. Amen. And they went and got Jesus, tried to stone him. But it wasn't his time, and he walked out of their midst. Amen. But you see, don't magnify problems, magnify God. Open your spiritual eyes and see what God wants you to see. Amen. Now I'm going to close with this illustration here. And some of you heard it before, but it won't hurt you to hear it again. There was a famous sculptor. He was walking through the statuary, and there was a block of marble there, and he just stopped like he'd run into something. His eyes flew open, and he said, wow. He said, do you see that? Do you see that? And the guy said, what? He said, inside that marble, he said, there's an angel in there, and he's struggling to be free. And The guy said, I don't see nothing but a piece of rock. Amen. But that sculptor took that large piece of marble, and he took his mallet and his chisel, and he began to chip away at the marble. And it wasn't too long before the whole world could see there was an angel in that marble, and he was struggling to get free. And with his chisel and his mallet, he set him free because he could see something others could not see. That's what eyes of faith do. They help you to see family members unsaved, saved. They help you to see neighbors that are unsaved, saved. They let you see sicknesses that are real, healed. Amen. Eyes of faith allow you to see things the way God sees them. It makes all the difference. Let's stand together tonight. Amen. Eyes of faith. Anybody here tonight have eyes of faith? What can you see? What can you see? What can you see for Athens United Pentecostal Church? What can you see for Canton United Pentecostal Church? What can you see for your home church? What can you see in your family? What can you see in the workplace? What can you see at your school? Amen. When you close your eyes, what do you see? Amen. Praise God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Eyes of faith. Eyes of faith. Amen. Seeing through eyes of faith, it makes all the difference. It makes all the difference. Amen. Pray. Hear from God. Believe God. Claim from God and hold on to the promise. Hold on to the promise until you see it. Hold on until you see it. Amen. God is in the prayer answering business. Amen. It's what He wants to do. God does not answer reluctantly. He answers joyfully. But sometimes, like Elijah, you have to just keep on praying. You hear it. It's been conceived in your heart. But you don't see it yet. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Eyes of faith. Eyes of faith. Eyes of faith. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. There was a little national pastor one time, and very poor, and he knew that he needed a bicycle to get around. He could do a better job helping his people and pastoring his church if he just had a bicycle he could ride in the city. So he got to pray, and he said, God, he said, I want you to give me a bicycle. Somehow help me to get a bicycle. And he felt like the Lord had answered his prayer. So he started telling people, I'm getting ready to get me a bicycle. And they said, well, I don't see any bicycle. And they'd make fun of him. And they'd say, well, he said, when a woman's expecting a baby, you don't see a baby either. And so then they laughed, and they said he was pregnant with a bicycle. They laughed at him. But you know what? One day he was walking past a place where some rich Americans were getting ready to move. And they were loading up their truck, and they had a bicycle. And when they got finished, they didn't have any room to put the bicycle on. So they said, I guess we're going to have to leave this bicycle behind. Amen. And they said, sir, would you like to have a bicycle? Amen. And he went down the street riding on his bicycle, grinning from ear to ear at the unbelievers, saying, see, I told you I was going to get a bicycle. Amen. Hey, you just got to make up your mind. How are you going to see life? Are you going to go through life just looking through negative eyes? Are you going to hear from God and see by faith? That's the way to live life. See, hear from God and see by faith. Amen. That's the way He wants us to live today. Amen. Praise the Lord. Anybody, you got a need you need to pray about tonight? I think it'd be good if we'd gather around the altar for a little bit before we go. Amen. You don't have to come and kneel unless you want to. You can come and stand and